11, 2 Samuel chapter 11. Tonight's message, I'm going to go ahead and forewarn you, is I'm not for sure. I'm hoping somebody gets something out of this. 2 Samuel chapter number 11. This morning, thank the Lord for God's grace. Thank the Lord that even when we fail, He still loves us, still wants to talk to us. And thank the Lord for that. And 2 Samuel chapter 11, we'll read 17 verses now, so I'd ask you to stay with me and just talk about this for a few minutes. 2 Samuel chapter 11, by now I hope you found it, verse number 1, and it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all of Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening time that David rose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" David sent messengers and took her, and she came into him, and he lay with her, and she was purified from her uncleanness. She returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and she sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was coming to him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said unto Uriah, "Go down to thy house and wash the feet." And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. You see, the king was trying to make himself feel better. And Uriah slept at the door of the king's house. He wouldn't even go home. Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all of his servants of the Lord and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, "Uriah went not down to his house," and David said to Uriah, "Camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down in thy house?" Uriah said unto David, "The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in open fields. Shall I then go into my house and to eat and drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as my soul liveth, I will not do this thing." David said unto Uriah, "Tarry here today also and tomorrow, and I will let thee depart." So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and then tomorrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at evening he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord, but went not down to his house. It came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab. Joab was like the military general. And he wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, "Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire ye from him." In other words, leave him out there by himself, that he may be smitten and die. And it came to pass when Joab observed the city that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that valiant men were. And the men of the city went out, fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd help us tonight. Thank you. Thank you just for being God, being who you are. Lord, I pray when life doesn't seem fair, and life seems like it abuses us and mistreats us, Lord, that you have a plan and you've got a purpose. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight, get something from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. When I read this chapter, everybody probably tensed up and they thought, "Oh, we're going to hear about adultery tonight," which probably wouldn't be a bad idea. But here in 2 Samuel chapter number 11, everybody, when they preach this sermon, you would think, or preach this text, they always gear their message toward David and the affair and the adultery that he had between Bathsheba. But I want to look at another guy. I want to look at this guy named Uriah the Hittite. I want to look at him for a minute. Would you not agree that Uriah the Hittite looked like probably the most abused and used and mistreated man in the text? It looked like he was treated unfairly. It looked like if anybody was treated unfairly, Uriah the Hittite was treated unfairly. Truly, he has been used and abused. And ladies and gentlemen, I have seen folks. I have met folks. Maybe they're in this room. Maybe they're outside these walls. Maybe they go somewhere else. And we've all run into people, friends and family and foes and different ones that have been mistreated. And they've been treated unfairly, whether it's right, whether it was wrongly. And everybody in this world has been treated at some point in time in their life. They've been treated unfairly. So they thought, and they feel like they've been used and abused, and it seems like God is unfair. God, you're not treating me fairly. I'm not getting the things that everybody else. I'm serving the Lord, and everybody else is serving the world. They got more money in their bank account, and I don't have nothing. I'm trying to figure out where my next meal's coming from. God, you're unfair to me. You haven't given me the life. I didn't have a Christian mom, a Christian dad, or so on and so forth. I was raised in a divided home, and all of that. God, you've been unfair to me. I've been used and abused. I can honestly say Uriah the Hittite was used and abused and mistreated unfairly. But I don't look at this man, Uriah the Hittite. Who was he? You don't find many messages on Uriah the Hittite. But here's number one, how Uriah lived. How did he live? I can tell you this, he lived faithful. He was a faithful man. If there was ever a man that was faithful to the cause, faithful to anything that he did, Uriah the Hittite was a faithful man. Number one, he was faithful to his wife. Gentlemen, wouldn't you agree? Ladies, you could say amen right here. It is a good thing for you as men to be faithful to your wife. Ladies, it is a good thing for you to be faithful to your husband. We require faithfulness. It is required of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, faithful to their spouse, faithful to their home, faithful to their church, faithful to God Almighty. That's how he lived. He lived his life as a faithful human being. I think, ladies and gentlemen, all of us could get something from that. We could be a little faithful. I'm not saying, different things happen in sickness and whatever. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, I'm telling you, we could be more faithful. Faithful to the house of the Lord. I know folks that were here this morning. I only see them once a week. And in softball, hey, let me hit this while I'm getting a little red behind the ear. Softball's fixing to start. Softball season's fixing to start. And let me say this: if you can be out there on the ball field Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, but you can't darken the door on a Wednesday night because I got to work. I'm really not getting the response I thought I ought to be getting. Hallelujah, it's the truth. I know. Boy, I'm telling you what, they'll be out there and they'll play from sun up to sundown on whatever Tuesday and Thursday. And boy, they'll be there. And I'm telling you what, stay till 10, 11 o'clock whenever the inning ends. And it could be tied. And it'll be tied at midnight. They still are going. Got to get up at work 5 o'clock the next morning and go to work. But Wednesday night comes. Oh, preacher, I got to get up early. I feel like I'm a preaching right now. How Uriah lived, he lived as a faithful man. He was faithful to his wife. Number two, he was faithful to the king. Verse 13 over here. Man, I'm look here. And when David had called him, he did eat, drink before him, and made him drunk. He was trying to make him drunk so he would lose his morality, because when you get drunk, you lose your moral behavior. And so David says, well, if I can make him drunk, maybe he won't be so moral and so Christian. Maybe I can get some of this Christianity out of him and he'll go on home. And then I can tell him the next day, that's your baby, that ain't mine. But Uriah was so faithful to his wife and so faithful to the king, he spent the night outside the king's door, said, I'm sleeping right here because I'm faithful to the king. How many of us are faithful to the king? Faithful to his wife, faithful to the king. He says, I ain't going out there. The servants of my Lord are out there. They're camped in the open field. They're at battle. I ought to be out there in battle. King, you ought to be out there with us. And I am not going to go home, prop my feet up in the recliner, drink a glass of sweet tea while all of my buddies are out there fixing to lose their life. I'm faithful to the cause. Faithful to his wife, faithful to the king, faithful to his commander. Because his commander was Joab. Joab, the big military general, if you will. A ruthless man. He had very little compassion on anybody. A military general, if you will. When Joab gave the order, Uriah jumped to it. He was faithful. He said, I'll do it. I'll go. You think about this. David says, man, I can't get rid of this guy. I mean, I was going to send him home, brought him from the battle, sent him home, and he spent the night at his house, and that way the next morning I can say, hey, that's your baby. I don't know, that's your baby. He wouldn't go to his house. He stayed faithful to the king. He's like, what am I going to do now? The only way I can do is kill him. And so he wrote a letter. Get this picture in your mind. Get this picture in your mind. King David wrote a letter to General Joab. I want you to put Uriah at the hottest place. I'm talking about where the battle is the hottest. And you put him out there, and you make sure he's out there by himself, and you make sure he's in the line of fire, and you make sure he don't come back here. Uriah. Take this letter to your general back to the field. Now, can I be honest with y'all? If that was me, I'd have did this number. And then you'd have known not to go to the field. You know how I know Joab or Uriah was a faithful man, faithful to the king, faithful to the commander? He never did open it. He's carrying his death warrant. And he carried it to the general. He said, here, this come from the king. Don't know what it says, but here it is. You're talking about a good man. That's a faithful man. Didn't even peek like I probably would have. I mean, you say, preacher, how you know he didn't read it? He went to the field, didn't he? If you'd have read that letter and said, hey, you've been to get killed. You ain't coming back home. He didn't read that letter. He took it to the general. Said, here's a letter from the king. Yeah, he was faithful to his commander, and they put him to the hottest, no questions asked. It was almost like that SEAL team that went in there and got Osama bin Laden, and I'm told Mount. It was like Uriah said, put me there. Put me at the hottest spot. I'll go. It don't matter it don't make any difference how hot it is. Let me be in the hottest spot of the battle. I count it an honor for you to even think I'm worthy enough to be at the hottest spot of the battle. Put me there. I'm ready. Boy, we need some of them kind of men. Man, we need some of them kind of men. He was faithful to his wife, faithful to the king, faithful to the commander. He was faithful to God. I mean, you say, preacher, he wasn't faithful to God. Where does it say he was faithful to God? Watch this. King David says, hey, why didn't you go down? Why didn't you go to your house last night? Why didn't you go? Verse 11, and Uriah said unto David, the ark. Y'all know what the ark is? The ark is where the presence of God dwelt. He said, that's the reason I couldn't go home, because I desire. Our ark is out there. Our presence of God is out there. And I can't sleep until I know it is safe. I want to be in the presence of God. Uriah the Hittite, people. Uriah the Hittite was was one of those nations that come. Boy, I couldn't tell you where. I ain't going to tell you where he come from. Y'all wouldn't believe it anyway. But I'm talking about was an outcast nation. But he got, I guess for lack of a better term, an Old Testament word, saved, married a Jewish girl named Bathsheba. He's in there with the king. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hey, there. I'm looking at a bunch of us. We a bunch of outcasts. And we married into the right bloodline. And we ought to be faithful. Faithful, faithful, faithful. Faithful to God. That's how he lived. He lived faithful. All right, number two. How did he live? He lived faithful. Number two, how did he look? Well, how did he live? He lived lived faithful. Y'all ready for this? How did he look? He looked like a fool. Would y'all not agree? He looked like a fool to me. I know David was wrong, and let me say this, Bathsheba was just as wrong. Listen, you don't live in the same town as the king and not know where he lives. You knowed where he lives. You knew he was at home. He wasn't at battle where he should have been. He should have been in battle, but he was at the house. He looked out on the roof. He thought he'd go out there. The first look's on God. The second one's on you. And he went out there, and he saw this woman taking a bath out there on the roof. That's where, back in them days, it had that's where the living room, the sitting room, whatever, is out on the rooftop. And went out there, and this woman, now why in the world is she taking a bath in the middle of the day? I don't have any idea. And David's out there, and he's looking. Then he calls servant, hey, go inquire who that is. We find out. Hey, listen, men, I'm telling you, you fix your ass for it. I'm telling you, you be careful. We're not talking about David tonight. We're talking about Uriah. And I'm telling you, it makes Uriah look to be a fool. He's a man. He's faithful to his wife. He's fighting for his king and his country. And they're committing adultery behind his back. He looks like a fool. He's doing everything he can for his family. He's doing everything he can do for the king, for this country. He's doing everything he knows to do for God. And he looks like a fool. His wife has made him look like a fool. His king has made him look like a fool. He was so devoted to the king, he wouldn't even go home while others are fighting the battle. His commander makes him look like a fool because he's carrying the letter that's going to kill him. And his commander don't even give him a heads up. And he makes him look like a fool. And let me say this, don't get mad at me, but it almost, for a little while, just for a little while, it almost looks like God's making him out look like a fool. Well, it looks like David's getting away with. It looks like he's getting away with it. And just for a little while, it looks like God is making him out to be a fool. You ever wondered, is it really worth serving God? Is it really worth serving God? To be treated unfairly, to be treated like you were used and you were a fool and everybody's laughing at you and everybody. But let me tell you what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 10, if you want to write it down, I'll read it to you. We are fools for Christ's sake. If you're going to live for God, if you're going to be faithful, if you're going to look like something, if you're going to live like a Christian, if you're going to look like a Christian, you're going to be made a fool out of, or that's what they're going to say you are. But I'm telling you this, you bow your chest out. 1 Corinthians, Apostle Paul says, we are fools for Christ's sake. Yes, we are. You think about that. We're fools for Christ's sake. How did he look? He looked like a fool. How did he live? He lived faithful. Now, let me get down to the message. How did Uriah, how did he live? How he left? How he left this world? He left this world favored. He lived faithful. He looked like a fool, but he left favored of God. Now, you ain't seen it yet, but it's coming. It's coming. How was he favored? Well, look at verse 17. The men of the city went out, fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. In this portion of Scripture, Uriah's name is mentioned about 19 times. He died when his name is mentioned the 15th time. The number 15 in Scripture is a number for rest. God gave him rest. He favored him because God did not let him know what all was happening to him when he died. You know what? God could be keeping you from some information that you don't need to know. God, you're treating me unfair. You don't understand. I'm trying to keep you favored. Well, I look like a fool. I'm trying to favor you. You really want me to tell you everything I know? God says, do y'all really want me to tell you everything I know? If you knew everything God knew, number one, you'd be God. But then number two, you wouldn't want to know after you found out. And so how did he leave this world? He left favored. You'll get it in a minute. You say, preacher, Uriah had a pure heart. Innocent. That's the way he left. He left with a pure heart. Do you think if he had found out, he'd still had a pure heart? David was doing wrong. Uriah was doing right. That day, Uriah died. He probably knew that he was going to die if he's on the front line in the hottest part of the battle, and his commander had given him the order, and he fought with all of his courage and all of his strength, and he had for his king and for his country and for his family. He did it with a pure heart. He died on the battlefield not knowing what they had done to him. He didn't have any bitterness. No bitterness in his heart. He died with a pure heart. No bitterness. I think Hebrews says something like this. Follow peace. Hebrews chapter 12. Follow peace lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. You know what? A lot of times, you know why we got so much going on? We ask God for too much information. God, you tell me. You're being unfair to me. You tell me. And when he tells you, now you're bitter, your heart's broken. God, you take it back. I wish you wouldn't have told. That's too late now. Won't you be just like Uriah? Lord, you handle all of that. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to look like a fool for you. Lord, you tell me what I need to know. I don't want to know what you don't want me to know. I'm going to be faithful to you no matter what. No matter what this world dishes out to me, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to love you. I'm going to be faithful to my wife. I'm going to be faithful to the king. I'm going to be faithful to the commander. I'm going to be faithful to church. I'm going to be faithful to my Bible reading. God, you handle all the rest. I'm going to be faithful. The world may say I look like a fool, but I'm going to be faithful for Christ's sake. I don't want bitterness in my heart. I don't want my heart broke. I don't want all of that stuff. the things that God does not let us know are His mercy on us. God extends mercy by not letting us know everything we think we ought to know. God let him die without hearing. God let him die without hearing down at Walmart. He didn't read about it in the paper. He didn't hear nothing. God let him die with no hearing, no hatred. Pure heart. Uriah didn't hate nobody. He didn't know to. No broken heart, no bitter spirit. Now, amen. He died not hearing. He died with no hatred. He died without hurting. He died without hurting his testimony. Let me say this. Let me draw the comparison because some of you are not getting it. David had to live with what he'd done for the rest of his life. There is something worse than dying. If you're saved, what could be worse than dying? I mean, listen, they told John R. Rice one time, he was preaching a big tent meeting, they sent word to him, said, if you go up there and preach tonight, and you preach tonight, I'm meeting you back at your motel room, and we're going to kill you. He said, don't threaten me with heaven. Why, how are you going to threaten a saved person with death? I'm going to heaven. Leave my bills to the Jehovah's Witness. Hallelujah. Can I say this? David, the Bible said, let me read you something it says in the next chapter about David because I'm trying to hurry for time's sake. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thy house because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. David, because of what you've done, you'll live the rest of your life looking over your shoulder. Uriah died with a pure heart. No bitterness, no heartache. Pure heart, no hatred. He died without hearing. He died without hatred. He died without hurting. But David lost his testimony with his foes, with his family, with his friends, and with his heavenly Father. Displeased the Lord, and his enemies blasphemed. Now let me get down to the message. How many times have I said that? Somebody's keeping up with it. Hallelujah. Somebody's keeping up. He's like, he said that three times. All right, one more time, he'll be done. All right. Uriah lived faithful. He looked like a fool. What was my other point? He left favored. But I want to show you something about a Uriah when we go. Uriah the Hittite was featured. You ever thought about this? And I've never thought about this until just a day or two ago. I was looking at this. Uriah looks like, yes, looks like a fool. He does. He looks like a fool. But he looks like the Lord. Let me ask you a question. When Jesus died upon the cross, stripped him naked. It wasn't like what you saw on TV, they had loincloth over. Hey, he was naked, totally naked. Did Jesus look like a fool? Looked like a fool. Everybody's laughing at him. Everybody's, hey, you want to be Christ-like, don't you? They're laughing at him, mocking him. He looked like a fool. Jesus Christ, or Uriah, it's featured. Looks like Christ. Let me give you this. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your body a living sacrifice. Okay? You present. You present. While you're living on this earth, I'm clothed. Hang on. I'm clothed. I know I'm getting hot. I don't know about y'all, but look here. while you're living, since you've been saved, until you die or the rapture, you present your body, Uriah, to the king, to the commander. Here's my body, a living sacrifice. I'm presenting it. I'm going to be faithful. I may look like a fool doing it, but I'm leaving out of here favored. Somebody help me. I'm starting to like what I'm preaching. I'm going to be faithful. I may look like a fool doing it, but I'm leaving out of here favored because I want to be featured when I get to heaven. God's not mistreating you. God's keeping you from no telling. Oh, it's not unfair. You're not abused and used. You ought to be want to be used of God. You present, then what does God do? Ephesians 5:27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You present while you're saved. You present your life. And you let God use it. You be faithful. You might look like a fool doing it, but you'll leave here favored. And when you get there, you'll be featured because you presented your body living sacrifice. And then when you get there, the Lord says, all right, I want to present to you the church of the living God. Without spot. Without wrinkle. Let me say this. How does Uriah look like Christ? Y'all ready? Uriah. It was like King David took Uriah by the hand, like a little lamb led to the slaughter. Let me do that again because some of you didn't get that. It's found in Isaiah 53 if you want to read it sometime. It's almost like David grabbed Uriah's hand like a little lamb and led him to the slaughter. Jesus Christ was took like a little lamb, led to the slaughter. And he opened not his mouth. Did you ever hear Uriah say anything? Nope. Didn't know to. Jesus Christ knew to. Still didn't open his mouth. Number two, Uriah, out there on the battlefield, died alone. King David told him in the letter. You know what the letter said? The letter said, you get him out there in the hottest part of the battle, y'all just sort of slowly back up and then leave him out there by himself. And then when the shot's fired, y'all turn around, didn't see nothing. You say, how does that picture the Lord? Jesus Christ on the cross said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me out here in the battlefield by myself? And then lastly, hallelujah, Uriah died for the sins of somebody else. Uriah died not because of his sins, because somebody else's. They led the Lord as a lamb to the slaughterhouse. He didn't die because of what he did wrong. He died for my sins, for yours. Yes, Uriah pictures the Lord pretty good. I hope and pray when I get to heaven, I doubt this be the case, but I hope and pray that the Lord can look at my life and say, God the Father, I want to present. Son, I'm telling about it looked like he was being a fool. It looked like he was being used and abused. But that's down here on this world's level. But up here, to be featured. I want to be faithful. I may look like a fool doing it. They may talk about us, whatever. We may look like a fool doing it. But I sure want to leave out of here favored. And when I get there, I want to be featured if I can. Not to say I want above anybody. No, no, no. You don't miss the point. I don't want to be above. I just want to be favored to where when I come in, the Lord can say, well done. Amen. You imagine Uriah walking into heaven and the Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Uriah, I kept a lot of stuff from you, but you didn't want to know. You remained faithful. You ended with a pure heart, no bitter spirit, no hatred found in you, and I kept you from a lot of hurt. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I wouldn't mind being a Uriah as far as that is concerned. Don't want to experience all he experienced. I'm talking about that. I'm talking about wouldn't mind being a Uriah as far as being faithful. The Lord can count on me, and the Lord, it may look like a fool for Christ's sake, but leaving out of here favored and be featured when you get there. Heavenly Father.